From the On The Go Media Podcast Network, this is the Chuckle Huddle, your dose of mediocre sports analysis with a laugh. And now, here's Mitch Williams and Josh Hamlin.
From the On The Go Media Podcast Network, this is the Chuckle Huddle alongside Josh Hamlin. I'm Mitch Williams. As we're back from a hiatus, Josh. You played hooky last week. I'm not going to forgive you for that. But we're back informing our audience of great things happening in sports on the collegiate high school level.
Well, Mitch, we're supposed to be somewhat accurate when it comes to the Chuckle Huddle. And to make things even, Mitch was also out of commission as well. We both were fighting colds last week. We have since taken them down and showed them the door. So we are back at almost 100% and excited for this week's Chuckle Huddle.
Who had the cold first?
I had my voice was going out. I did end up having a sinus infection, but I never got anywhere near you.
So you gave it to me.
Oh, okay.
You're the one that started this all, and then I was out for the weekend. So thanks a lot, Josh.
Well, it was some good time for you to get some rest, huh?
I did get some rest. Anyway, since the last time we were on here, a lot of things happened on the high school level. We had the Girls State Wrestling Tournament last week. Congratulations to all area wrestlers for not only placing there, but even just making it to the tournament, as that sport is growing, Josh.
It certainly is. I had a chance to attend the inaugural IGHSAU Girls Wrestling Tournament. And that was quite an amazing environment they were able to create with that first champions crowned. And it definitely is a growing sport now. Two classes and a state runner-up, Grace Story Hahn from Grundy Center, finished state runner-up for APGC. So excited for her.
And this Saturday, state qualifier for boys high school wrestling. Of course, Mother Nature may have a little quick takedown of some of these things in wrestling terms, Josh, but another full day on Saturday, because then we also got some postseason basketball that night. And your pants will be on fire the whole day as you'll be moving from town to town and town to town.
Yes, it's that time of year where sometimes you have multiple broadcasts going on in a day. Excited to cover our local student athletes. I'll be with Colt Powers up at Clear Lake for that boys' district tournament. We have Hampton, Dumont County, Iowa Falls, Alton, and North Butler, Clarksville up there for that event. So excited to send as many wrestlers as possible down to the well next week for the State Boys Wrestling Tournament. JMO will be in New Hampton with APGC, and then we have some wrestling teams that are at districts that we will not be broadcasting, but will be getting reports from.
Webster City.
Yes, Webster City will have three schools there, including Clarion, Goldfield, Dows, BCLUW, South Hardin over there at that one.
Dyke New Hartford.
And Dyke New Hartford as well, yes. And then up at Osage, West Fork is our only local team and our only 1A team at that particular district. AGWSR will also be competing on Saturday. So a lot of wrestling, but it's a busy day, but it's a really cool day to see the wrestlers that have put in the work since, I believe, the wrestling season starts September with the off-season work that these wrestlers put in and keeping weight, continuing to grind and put in that work on the mat, and seeing them have a medal around their neck and get to represent their school on the state level is truly something special. So I'm hoping we can push as many wrestlers possible through at these various district meets on Saturday, and I'm hoping our wrestlers can get the pin on the incoming winter weather.
But I don't have that ready here. As it relates to boys and girls high school basketball, the postseason starts for girls already tonight. You'll see Clarksville in action, and the boys will get going here tomorrow with the HWSR boys. Any one team you're kind of looking out for? Maybe they'll make a run. I know HD Cowgirls are coming off a great regular season, just finished a couple games out of first place. That's a team I'm going to be watching that can make the state. I also think like the Grundy Center girls, Coach Lindeman over there. He's the AD, does a little bit of everything. He's always got a great girls team too. So I guess those are some of the teams I'll be watching in terms of girls anyway.
Yes, as far as the girls' teams I'll be watching, watch out for the West Fork girls. They are now ranked top 15 in Class 2A. They won their second top of Iowa Conference East title in the last 3 years. They clinched that on Tuesday night with a win over Central Springs. Had a really good conversation for the Coach's Corner with head coach Rodney Huber about that accomplishment. They are playing some of their best basketball right now. They've won 6 straight games as they go into the 2A postseason. Watch out for Iowa Falls Alden. Head coach Michael Collison doing a really good job with that program here in year number one, leading that team. Their record doesn't tell the entire story about how good that team can be in the postseason. Those are a couple of the girls' teams that I'm really excited about, including Hampton Dumont Cal as well. Excited to follow them at least for the first 2 games of their postseason run, as they will be at home on Saturday, 3rd meeting against Clear Lake, and hoping they can advance to Wednesday. That is a really special team. What a senior group in the way they've come together under Coach Stafford, and excited for them to take what they've done here during one of their best regular seasons in recent memory and translating that to the postseason. As far as boys' teams, watch out for the Grundy Center boys. They are a top 8 team in the state in Class 2A. Watch out for what they're able to do. As I had mentioned on the Chuckle Huddle before, I had a chance to go to one of their games this year. They have a similar roster to what the football team has, and they play about as fluid as they would on a football field on the basketball court. It's translated really well. Very selfless play, averaging double-figure assists a game and putting up points in bunches. So watch out for that Grundy Center Spartans boys team.
They always got good athletics over there. Anything you look at, they're usually competing for a state appearance. Anyway, we're going to take a break. When we come back, a lot of college hoops to get to. We're 2 weeks old since we last run the podcast. We got a lot to catch up on here on the Chuckle Huddle on the Go Media Podcast Network.
Listening to the radio, driving in your car. Radio gets results.
What is Radio on the Go? Radio on the Go is a combination of 99 The Wave, KQCR, Parkersburg, and 104.9 KLMJ, Hampton. It's an easy way to include both stations together. Radio on the Go is part of On the Go Media, but On the Go Media is much more than radio. It includes social media, websites, and podcasts. On the Go Media can also provide digital display advertising for your business to be seen on the most viewed websites around the nation, or even for your business to have TV ads on free video streaming services. So, if you thought internet advertising was just for big companies, On the Go Media is bringing local businesses access to the world. Contact our team today and explore the possibilities of how we can market your business to the ears and eyes in our listening area and beyond.
Boy, Josh, the king of bad outros right there. Mitch Williams' specialty. Didn't get the words out at all. I think it's still recovering from the common cold I have. But anyway, it is time to talk some college hoops once again. And the last time we were on, Josh, was the Thursday after. We're going to start with the Iowa State men so you can get your little stuff ready for this. I'm going to start with the Iowa State men. And the reason I went to is the last time we were on, they were just coming off the loss to Arizona on the half-court heave by Caleb Love, I should say, and it was actually a three-quarter heave. They lost Arizona by 11 in overtime, and then they would proceed to lose 2 straight games. They lost to Kansas State that following Saturday, handily at home. Now, Milan Momchilovic wasn't there, and they also got handled at Kansas, but now they've won 2 straight with Momchilovic back in the lineup. But I think we've seen the weakness. When this team can't hit threes, they're not forcing to stretch you out, and you're able to pack against them. Maybe that's when they're most vulnerable, and maybe when you got a guard that can score more than Lipsy can, that's also a big thing against this Iowa State team. I'm not taking away my pick of Iowa State still being a Final Four possibility. They just shown some weaknesses. Obviously, when a team is hurt, yeah, they're going to have weaknesses shown. So with Momchilovic in the lineup, they only have the one loss. That was the Auburn game way back in the Maui Invitational. Without him, what was their 1, 2, 3, at least 3 losses. You went out the 11th, so I don't know if West Virginia game was before or after the 11th, but they lost a couple games without Momchilovic. So I guess that's my take. The losing skid's over, and now the schedule next 2 games is easy. Cincinnati is a bubble team on the wrong side. Colorado's winless in conference play. And then finally you got at Houston here a week from Saturday.
Well, and when you're running a foot race, you have to jump over the hurdle, not run into the hurdle and drag it with you. And that's what happened to Iowa State during that 3-game slide. Turnovers were a big problem. They were having a season high in turnovers in both that Arizona game and Kansas State game, and then really tough place to play against Kansas at Allen Fieldhouse. That place was rocking on a big Monday, but turnovers also a big problem there. They were averaging 18 turnovers per game over that three-game losing streak.
Holy moly!
And that's a problem. If you're turning the ball over, that means you're not possessing it. That means you're not scoring, and you're losing by double figures. So able to clean that up against TCU, and another solid win against a UCF to sweep that season series. Not as impressive of scoring as the 108 they dropped on them earlier on, but another solid win there for Iowa State, and a really good chance to make it four straight wins to beat Cincinnati, try and beat Colorado for a third time this year, and then you have that big matchup against number 6 Houston coming up on the 22nd of February. But yeah, having a Momčilović back for this team is huge.
Momčilović.
Having him back is huge, though, because he's a sharpshooter. He is has a really good jump shot. He steps into his shot really well and then can attack the rim. And having another scorer to take some of the weight off of players like Curtis Jones and Keyshawn Gilbert, Taman Lipsey even, just having another ball handler when you get your offense set is going to be a game changer for this team as they make the push here in February into early March and head for Kansas City for that Big 12 tournament.
And if they want any chance of playing a role in the regular season title, they got to beat Houston. Houston has like a three-game lead on them in terms of that. Iowa State back three games. Now, if they beat Houston, they change that completely. So we'll see what happens in the Big 12 race, because it ain't just Iowa State and Houston. Texas Tech, second-year coach Graham McCaslin, bringing that North Texas defensive DNA, having a great season there. Arizona went 6-5 non-conference. Well, we've seen what they can do now, too. So that's the way things are looking there for the Iowa State men. Now, I need to go back, and we're going to go to the Iowa women now, because I tore this team to shreds, Josh. I mean, I was done with them. I said if they go 2-5 in February, that'd be considered, a great month. But they start off the month with a win over USC, a win at Minnesota, and this is a different Minnesota team. This is a Minnesota team that's going to go to the NCAA tournament. And I'm trying to look, since we last had our podcast, it was last Thursday in January, so they were just coming off barely a win over Northwestern, but it was their second straight win, and since then they've won three more games, including USC, which we haven't talked about yet. They won at Minnesota, where their veterans finally stepped up. That's Lucy Olson. That's Hannah Stolke. That's Addison O'Grady. That's Kylie Fierbach. That's Sydney Falter. I mean, all five of them at the same time, not just one or two of them. And then finally, you got payback on Nebraska, a game where they probably should have won at home. They didn't, and they handled business there Monday night. So this team will likely be an NCAA tournament, barring any losses to like a Rutgers or Wisconsin.
Yeah, I think it's been really impressive the way this Iowa team has turned things around, and a big part of that is their transfer in Lucy Olson. She has found her shot. She's been scoring in bunches when she was having some cold streaks there, and she has a fellow supporting cast that have really stepped up, especially post-play. Hannah Stolke's been playing really well. And McCabe has been shooting the ball well. It's everybody's playing as a team. Ooh. And when things are not going well, you have to figure out, all right, how are we going to come together as a team and figure this out? And I believe they figured it out. And I think Caitlin Clark being back in the arena was a nice Energizer Bunny moment for that team, because you have a packed house. They hadn't really been filling the arena the way they would have liked to during that losing streak. Packed house, come out, get a big win against USC, a game in which they held them to single digits in that first quarter, and were down at times against that USC team, finish strong, get that win, and then a couple of solid wins as well against Minnesota, and a nice revenge win against Nebraska after that single-digit loss earlier on in the year. So big
matchup
tonight, Lucy, against Rutgers. So excited to see what this team can do with still two chances to get some marquee wins playing Ohio State and UCLA later on this month.
That was the Nebraska game where Lucy Olson just like, I'm not going to make a free throw tonight. And she actually went 4 of 8 the other night, but that's when she was laughing after missed free throws. And that's when I was like, stop. You're not helping your cause. Stop laughing. But that 5-game losing skid is over. Now it's a 5-game win streak. You take on a lowly Rutgers team tonight before you go to Ohio State on Monday. And then you host UCLA. That's a week from I think they got almost a week off there. That's a week from Sunday. So we'll see what they do. I told someone just two of those games are turnaround, like Nebraska and Oregon, just those back-to-back. If those are wins, Iowa's now battling to host again for the fourth straight NCAA tournament, 22, 23, 24, and then this year, hosting the first two rounds, but they won't be able to do that. They're just too far down the seeding line. They'd have to really go on a run to even be considered. So we'll see how they wrap it up. But, you know, I said this to a friend of mine I talk to a lot when we talk about basketball. I says, I hate despising Lucy Olson. I do. Like, she, you know, she's always smiling, always happy, like never gets down and stuff. But there are certain things she did, you know, missing free throws and laughing that drove me up a wall. And you know me, Josh, I'm very easygoing. You can chime in on that if you want. But that happened in their struggles from the field. But then I guess Coach Jensen pulled her aside one game, said, hey, I have confidence in you. You have got to loosen up. And Lucy loosened, essentially. So, and it's been great to see the likes of a Falter and Hannah Stolke in Minnesota. She had a great game, too. Can't forget about the junior post player there. So she runs the floor of the best of them. Let's see. Hey, the panic button we had for the Iowa men, we'll lower the volume. It's still going to play. I don't know, Josh, should we keep this siren going? I mean, I still have the alarm still sounding loud for me because of, well, is that bothering you that it's still going? It's still going to play for me because, yeah, you beat Rutgers, but Rutgers has a lot of its own troubles. They got those two five-star guards, and they're not really doing anything for them, so they got their own trouble. But Iowa able to get its first true road win of the season at Rutgers last night. And as you said to me off air, not an easy place to play. The Rack, as they call it. I think it's called Jersey Mike's now, which is stupid. I call it the Rack. It sounds better. But, I don't know. There's still not a whole lot of excitement for me with this program. There's just not a – you can call me a broken record. I don't care. But this team has no athletes. Josh Dix. And Drew Thelwell was out last night, so he didn't play. But outside of Josh Dix, give me an athlete. And I know you tried that one week, and I kept shutting you down. Riley Mulvey's playing a lot. Not an athlete. Payne Sanford, he's not an athlete. Price Sanford, not an athlete. Starting to drive me nuts. But they supposedly got a top 25 recruiting class coming in for this year, which is true. I don't say suppose. That is true, but will Fran even be there? I don't know. There's just so much unknown. They are, what, now 2-6 in last eight games? 2-6, yeah, since the Indiana blowout win. So any thoughts, Josh? I keep rambling on. I don't know what else to say about this team. They're just driving me nuts.
Yeah, for this Iowa team, a really good Big Ten they're playing in. It's kind of been a shocker to them the way this season has gone. And the best thing I can say with that type of recruiting class coming in is to continue to patch the holes in the boat so it stays afloat. So these recruiting players have something to come into that's somewhat stable. So you take the rest of your schedule and you just go out there and try and get a win. You don't get a win. All right. How are we going to improve from that loss for the next game? Because this team is not in contention to make to any tournament, not even their own fantasy tournament at their own house. They wouldn't be in.
That's
even,
how bad they are.
They would not been invited to that the way they have played. But got to give them props. Solid win last night to end what had been a three-game slide, including two games that were just bad against Purdue and Wisconsin. So a good road win. We'll see how they come out against Maryland. That Maryland team just beat Rutgers on Sunday, so we'll see how that goes as they take on Maryland later on this week. But, yeah, you just try and continue to patch the holes in the boat to keep it afloat and try not to let the ship go down for the incoming class that's going to make this program better as they look to climb again after the Murray era ended, and it's been tough going since.
I was going to say, this is the fourth straight season of this team getting worse. They had the 22 tournament run, Big Ten tournament title, and then in 23, they barely make the NCAA tournament. Last year, they go to the NIT, which Fran, oh, yeah, that's a really good tournament to go. It's not. And then this year, I guess that's a third straight season, excuse me. But all things still the same. I don't see any momentum. Now, they are 14-10 overall. If you find three wins on their schedule, that'd be a 17-14 regular season. I guarantee you, Josh, the NIT will want a team like Iowa to be in part of its field. And the thing is, Fran will accept because he thinks it's such a great tournament. Anyway, I want to talk about a team that I am just surprised at how well they shoot the three and all that. Let's go to the UNI Panthers here, Josh. Since the last time we were on the podcast, they dismantled Bradley at home on Sunday. Big televised game for them. Good for the Panthers. Road test at Missouri State. Missouri State's last year in the MVC. Beat Illinois State late again. It seems like them and Illinois State always got to play down to the last second. And then handled Indiana State. Now, they do have a tough stretch of games coming up, but a couple things about this team is the way that Titan Anderson and Trey Campbell both play. Shoot the ball very well. I'm trying to pull up stats here. I'm kind of egging on here. But Trey Campbell, for example, 4-7 from 3 against Indiana State. Titan Anderson distributing the ball well, and he went 8 of 9 from the field. And, of course, you know, you got to look front court, Jacob Hudson, also a good front court player. So this team has experience at all positions, and this is a team that if you're, you know, sitting there as the 2 seed, maybe you and I as a 3 seed in the MVC tournament, you're scared because they've already blown the doors off Bradley. We saw that on a week ago this past Sunday. So Arch Madness starts here in a little over a week, Josh, and here's the thing. Drake, to me, is an at-large team, but then like a Bradley or you and I should be able to steal a bid. And you and I right now is playing like a team that could steal a bid come Arch Madness.
Well, as I had mentioned on our last Chuckle Huddle, I'm going to continue to beat the drum for Titan Anderson. He is a game changer. He has a motor, and he is the true leader of this team, and everybody else is right next to him, providing that support that he needs to go out there and make plays, and they're going out and making plays as well. This is a deep roster. They're playing their best basketball right now. That's 4 straight wins after a tough loss to Drake. They'll get another look at Drake coming up here in just over about 10 days. So, yeah, they are playing some of their best basketball right now. My big thing for this UNI team is, going forward, you can't settle with a lead. They had to fight tooth and nail to beat Illinois State on last Saturday.
But that's a game they trailed most of the game. Yes, they didn't milk a lead.
Well, I know, understand that. But when they have a lead, some of these other games they've had a lead and they let the team continue to creep back. So they can't settle for three. They have to continue to attack the rim because they have the players that can do it. They have the guards that can attack. And I appreciate Titan Anderson as one of those players, along with Trey Campbell, that will attack the rim when they need a bucket. And so I'm hoping that they can continue to protect leads and not have some of these cold starts like they did against Illinois State, because some of these other teams won't let you get back in the game. Because this Nashville swing that they're going to go on, their annual trip out there, is not easy. Two games in a matter of 3 days against two really good programs, Murray State and Belmont. Tough arenas to play in. Two teams that have NCAA tournament DNA, so have to go out there and play really well before you get to your final two home games. Anticipated rematch with Drake, and then UIC is no sleeper either. They beat Bradley, they beat Drake over the course of this season, so a big stretch ahead in preparation for Arch Madness. But if you're the Panthers, have to be really happy where you are at, tied for second, and you have the head-to-head advantage over Bradley right now, who's also 11-4, but can anyone catch the Drake Bulldogs? I don't know.
No, they already locked up the number one seed.
Yeah, what McCollum has been able to do with that team has been something truly special. I'm surprised they're not receiving votes to be a part of the AP Top 25, because I believe they've earned it just by their resume during non-conference, not even including what they've been able to do in conference
play. A top
play.
4 seed. They've already got a top 4 seed, because I thought that didn't seem right. I knew you and I was only a couple games back, so Drake locked up a top 4 seed, a bye to the quarterfinal. Thing is, if you look at the top 3 teams, it's Drake, and then 2 games back are you and I and Bradley. So you and I is all but locked up a bye to the quarterfinal. Now, will they be on the top half where they play Drake in the semifinal, or will they be bottom half where they might be against a Bradley? So we'll see. The MVC, the Arch Madness, is always an interesting thing to follow. So, Josh, one last word before we send off for our final segment today.
Congrats to the Wartburg women's basketball team. They locked up the American Rivers Conference title, regular season title, last night with a win over the University of Dubuque. They are a top 15 team in the country in Division III, considered top 25, depending on the poll that you look at, but really have continued to put Wartburg on the map as far as basketball goes with Coach Bob Amsbary doing some great work over there. Over 300 wins during his time with the Knights. So very excited about what they'll be able to do as they make a push to make it back to the NCAA tournament and should get an auto bid based on their resume this year. Only two losses.
You mean at large?
Yes, they should get an at-large bid. Yes,
because the auto bid is the conference.
But they should win the conference title too. So I'm leaving possibilities for both. Just the way that they played in conference play, have not lost a conference game. So a big stretch up coming for them, and it's wild to think that we're already getting ready for college baseball and softball. Softball started last week already. And then baseball is starting here in the next week or so as well in some of those warmer climates. So best of luck to our collegiate baseball and softball team statewide. Big news, we may get Iowa and Iowa State, Northern Iowa and Iowa State baseball back to join the University of Iowa again. So there's someone down at the State House that's been trying to push that return. That'll be the first time Iowa State would have baseball since 2001. And for Northern Iowa, first time since 2009. So I'm hoping they can push that through. Collegiate baseball is second to none.
Talk about those priorities of your state elected officials are talking about baseball. Anyway, Josh and I got into this business because we grew up watching and listening certain announcers. We're going to talk about some of those favorite announcers growing up and even currently on the Chuckle Huddle on the On The Go Media Podcast Network.
The Morse Water Company Coach's Corner airs every Saturday at 8:30 a.m. on 104.9 KLMJ. Tune in each Saturday throughout the winter sports season to hear from local girls and boys basketball coaches break down the latest matchups and offer their analysis on their teams. Each show is also available in podcast form at radioonthego.com for on-demand listening. Don't miss the Morse Water Company Coach's Corner every Saturday at 8:30 a.m. on your home for local high school sports, 104.9 KLMJ.
Welcome back to the Chuckle Huddle on the On The Go Media Podcast Network. Alongside Josh Hamlin and my cough, I'm Mitch Williams. It seems like there's three people in here, me talking, you talking, and I've known so many people that got in the cold this year, or the flu, whatever. The cough doesn't stop when you feel better. The cough will stop when it wants to, and it might be weeks or months. I've been feeling better since Sunday, and this cough's like, nope, we're going to hang on a while. So if you hear me hacking on the side when Josh is talking, especially, I'm not doing that on purpose. I do enough other stuff to him. I don't need to cough when he's talking. So anyway.
Everything legal, folks. It's legal.
All right. We're starting to get some red tape there. So the next thing we want to talk about here is the reason we got into this. I know when I was growing up, I was helping Dad in the field and you know, you had to listen to the Hawkeye or Panther football games and the like. So I turned on Gary Dolphin or Gary Rima, and that's who I listened to locally. But even on the bigger spectrum here, you look at your national TV people, and I start thinking about when Vern Lundquist and Bill Raftery did games together. It was like your two uncles just going back and forth having fun. Man, those two are fun to listen to. They weren't arrogant. They didn't have that kind of arrogance to them. Josh is now doing stuff into the microphone. He didn't turn it off in time. Anyway, those were two of the announcers, and I'll mention a few more, but those are two of the announcers that I just, even to this day, I still like to listen to Bill Raftery because they love the game, and they love bringing action to you.
I'll start with radio, and then we'll go back to you, and then I'll mention the TV people. As far as radio, for me, it was the Gary connection growing up. That was truly something special. Still have one of the Garys that is still active, Gary Dolphin at the University of Iowa. Calls a game like no one else I've ever heard. Even when Iowa's just getting swept around, he still makes the game exciting, so a big shout-out to him. Gary Rima, the kaboom! I love that so much. That was some big games he had a chance to call, especially that Sweet 16 run back in 2009-10 when they beat number one Kansas.
Jake and the Giant Killers.
Straight up, that was something special. And then if also for radio, Pat Hughes, the voice of the Chicago Cubs. He has made many a summer nights and summer afternoons a pleasure and helped the time pass by calling many Cubs games. He got his contract extended, so he's going to keep doing that. He's a baseball Hall of Famer with that voice, so a big shout out to him if he listens to the Chuckle Huddle.
That's a stretch.
For the great work he does in Chicagoland.
Yeah, so going on beyond that, I mean, a guy that I know J-Mo likes to talk about too is Kevin Harlan, and the guy's got a he's called squirrels running across football fields, and he makes it exciting. And when him and Dan Bonner get together and you see their two faces ready to call the Arch Madness final with between, well, whoever it is on that Sunday before Selection Sunday, you know crap's about to get real, and those two are great. I mean, not just play-by-play, but even analysts. I like Dan Bonner is one of them I like. I already mentioned Bill Raftery. Jim Spanarkle, look him up. He's a solid one, too. He went to Duke. I didn't think I'd like him, but I do like him. He went to Duke. There's some others there, too, that just legend. Now, when I think of the ESPN type, Dan Shulman and Jay Billis are probably one of the two worst. I can't stand them. That might be unpopular, Josh, but I wanted to make sure I mentioned it to those two. I don't like Shulman's persona and Jay Billis. For a guy that's supposed to really promote the college basketball product, he's always complaining about, oh, the officiating is this way, or this team isn't doing this good, the transfer, yada, yada. Every game he's always like, yeah, it's going to be a good game. 3 minutes in, we're complaining about something stupid. And I don't like him anyway. He's the type of Duke guy I don't like. There's an arrogance to him, and I just can't stand listening to him.
For me, as far as TV goes, Jim Nance has been a big part of my growing up. I'm not that old, but a big part of my growing up.
From
the Masters in April to when he was calling college basketball, doesn't do that anymore, to what he does with the NFL. You can tell he does his homework and really respects the industry and puts in the work to provide the best product possible. So many special events he's been a part of.
Hello, friends.
He has done an excellent job. There is some others as far as TV goes. Bob Costas, I really enjoyed his Olympic coverage all those years. Mike Tirico has done a good job taking over that. Bob Costas still working with the Turner Sports Network. I see him every once in a while on a Tuesday night baseball feature that they'll have. And he's done some documentary work as well. And he just has that nice tone and narrator voice to make you in tune with what's going on. That's the big TV ones for me. Those two just pinnacles of the industry and have done some really amazing work to bring these events to audiences and keep you interested, even if the game's not that interesting. They'll have fun facts. They've just been in the industry so long, they have stories for days. So some great Nat sound to go with the commentary has been it's excellent. I love when there's major events and they're a part of it.
Jason Benetti, he's got a cool story. He has a disability, doesn't get around the greatest. He can still walk, but he has a great charisma. He had to deal with Bill Walton. He's had Brock Huard. He's had different personalities, and he does always a great job. I know he's been a White Sox announcer before.
Now he's in Detroit. He moved over to the Detroit Tigers and then doing
Of course, the White Sox lost something good.
He's all over the place, too. I mean, you'll see him at football. You'll see him during the basketball season, and I've seen him do some baseball work, too. So a very, very busy TV announcer.
Greg Gumbel, yes. R.I.P., I don't know how Selection Sunday is going to feel this year, knowing that, A, he's not going to announce, but he won't again. Like, when his voice came on that Sunday right before the pairings were released, you're like, oh, it's getting real. But with it comes the good announcers, also comes the bad. Spiro Ditas, I don't like him at all. I can't stand him. He's part of that NCAA Turner thing, too. So there's with those that are good, there's those that aren't, in my opinion. But the reason you're in this is ones that were good. And I always go back to people always talk about Al McGuire and those old ones. Well, when I grow up, people are like, who would you like to listen to? Vern Lundquist might be the first because his voice was on SEC on CBS with Gary Danielson. I thought those two had a click. Some people didn't like him. I loved him. Then he went on with Bill Raftery, completely different persona during basketball, and those two were great together. And then he got paired with Jim Spanarkle. And like I said, Spanarkle's a great color guy. Not a lot of people are going to know him, but I think he dives in the game great, and he doesn't sit there and complain about the game for 40 minutes like Jay Billis. So, yeah, each network has its highs and its lows, and we're here because of the highs.
And one of the new kids on the block, I wanted to make sure I gave him a shout-out as well. Kevin Burkhart has done an excellent job taking over for what Joe Buck was doing, and I think he may have done adds a little more personality in some of these calls that he does. Did a good job with the Super Bowl.
Watch with, out, red tape, Josh. The big game.
Yeah, he
the
did
NFL
a really good
big game.
Yep, he did a. Oh, with the we're on the podcast. It's okay.
Okay.
Really good job by him. And
what
do
you think of Tom Brady?
Tom Brady, he just needs to add some more color to what he's doing. His personality. He lowers his eyebrows and it's all serious all the time. Just add that was a diamond in the rough though for Fox to pick up. I mean, of all the networks to pick him up, that's a good pickup for a color commentator because you know he knows the game because he's played it forever.
What about Tony Romo? Well, you know, Jim. What about Tony? I can't stand him either.
When he first started, I was concerned because he was just saying what any average Joe would say. They got on his case, and now he's doing his homework. So Jim Nance has to have somebody to talk with. I'd prefer Greg Olson and have him switch networks because Greg Olson is really good. Really good during those midday days.
The midday games.
That's all that it's about when you find color commentators in this industry, though, especially at the pro level. You want to get former players, and some are cut out for it, some are not. Yeah. We saw Drew Brees wasn't cut out for it. They showed him the door after 1 year, sadly. I don't know what he's doing now.
But why hasn't Tony Romo been shown the door? I can't.
Jim Nance has a longer leash than NBC does, I guess. I don't know. But he's been doing better. He's been doing better because you know he's doing his homework. See, when it comes to that, you have to do your homework. You can't just throw things out there. And I think Tom Brady, maybe he doesn't have to do his homework because he had so much success playing the game. But
and plastic surgery.
Well, everybody has their thing.
Did you see that? Good grief. So, just wanted to do that, give you guys an idea of what our favorite announcers are and all that. I mean, we don't go way back to the 70s, 80s when you think of Al McGuire and all those big guys. But I'll start with Vern Lundquist. He has a great book out. He's been with a lot of different personalities, too. Oh, Al Michaels, when I used to watch Sunday Night Football.
He's doing some great work on Thursdays with Kirk Herbstreit. Yeah. I can't believe that's where he's going to end his career, though. They should have let him finish on Sunday Night Football. That's what he deserves.
And Tirico, you already said. Mike Tirico's done a great job. It's just I need Al Michaels.
Well, I wish they would have given him a last hurrah instead of it would have been an off season, and then you find out he's on a streaming network. It's like, where'd he go? Same thing happened with Bob Costas. Where'd he go? He was there doing the Olympics. You turn around, and it's like, wait a minute, where'd he go? It's like you see in Ghosts or something.
Protest.
It's like you got to let them have their last hurrah if you're going to show them the door.
Protest.
Let them know that it's the end. Give them a talent reel at the end of the thing, and then let them go. Don't just get rid of them because you say, wait a minute, who's this? Wait a minute, who's this? Yeah, that's no good.
Okay.
Even though their replacements are doing really good in their roles, it would have been nice to know that they were going. So.
And by the way, I forgot one more. This guy's been on all major networks, it seems. Brad Nessler has that golden voice.
Oh, straight up, yeah.
It sounds like a hard whiskey voice. He's done SEC on CBS. He's been on ESPN. He's been with Todd Blackledge was one of his color guys. Todd Blackledge, another good analyst too, who actually went to NBC. ESPN always loses the good ones. That's why Jay Billis and Dan Shulman are still there. Anyway. Any final thoughts, Josh, as we send this one home, our first time in 2 weeks, because you like to play hooky?
Thank you, On the Go Media podcast listeners, for sticking with us here on the Chuckle Huddle. We enjoy creating the content as much as we hope you enjoy listening to it. Busy time of the year, be sure to stay up to date on our broadcast schedule as things are going to continue to pivot, depending on who wins or loses as we venture into the postseason here this winter. We kick things off here tonight with Clarksville girls basketball, AGWSR boys basketball tomorrow. A busy day of wrestling on Saturday on both of our stations. And then Hampton-Dumont Cal girls basketball later on that evening. Excited for a postseason run for them. And the rest of our area schools really taking off next week. A potential, Mitch, of I will be calling 6 straight nights of basketball. And then we'll also have state wrestling. So a lot going on here this next week and a half. Be sure to stay tuned here to our On the Go Media stations. We're excited to cover our area student athletes.
For Josh Hamlin, I'm Mitch Williams. You've been listening to the Chuckle Huddle on the On the Go Media Podcast Network.
You've been listening to The Chuckle Huddle, featuring Mitch Williams and Josh Hamlin. As always, you can find our latest podcasts online at radioonthego.com or on the free Radio On The Go mobile app.